How are you, Martha?
Awesome. And how are you, Hanok?
Baruch Hashem. You're the only one who came so far.
I'm sorry, what?
You're the only one on so far.
Oh, okay. I'm early.
Miriam, are you there?
Yes.
Malka, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so we can go forward now. We're on
Hi, Esther.
Hello, we're about to start.
Oh, thank you.
Section 67, verse 399. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud could shabri chu rishkin kaibit hilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. Le'achta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. V'yihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adeinu kornei aleinu ma'asei adeinu kornehu. V'yihi Nachem Hashem ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz, v'yitatzev el libo, Rabbi Yosei patach, hoi moshkei ha'awon, v'ha'avlei ha'shav v'ka'avot, ha'agala ha'ta'ah, Awo Moshe Ha'awon Ilein B'nei Nasha Techatan Kamemer Marehon Bekoyoma Ve'itzdaman Ve'anayu Inun Hovin De'inun Kechavle Ha'ashav v'chashvin de'ahu ovada de'avdin v'ahu chovav de'avdin de'lavihu kelum v'la ashkach beho kucha barichu ad'avdin le'ahu chova Takif Berave Kaavot Ha'agala Dehihu Takif Dila Yakil Leishtatza. And Hashem regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Rabbi Yossi said upon this verse, Woe to them who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with cart rope. Those who draw iniquity are the men who sin every day before the Holy One, blessed be He, and they regard their sins as worthless cord because they think that the actions they engage in and their iniquities are of no consequence, and that the Holy One, blessed be He, does not watch them. They thus transform all of their sins into one big, powerful sin, as the cart rope, which is strong and thick and cannot be destroyed. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Can you tell me again where we are?
Section 67 of Bereshit Bet, verse 399.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions or comments? What is the Zohar telling us in this verse?
Chanoch.
Yes, Chanoch.
I was going to say it was. I was thinking it seems like when there's negativity, how it just compiles.
What it's saying is when a sin is done out of vanity, out of ego, and all sins are done out of ego, but it's speaking about without regret, then Hashem ties all those sins together. So he doesn't cleanse one sin here and one sin there. He makes a very huge chaotic event in that person's life. Because what it's being described is he's tying it together. The last sentence, they thus transform all of their sins into one big powerful sin, as the cart rope, which is strong and thick and cannot be destroyed. So
what does that mean? That it can't be destroyed.
When you do a sin, this is a metaphor, but when you do a sin, it gets loaded onto a cart. It gets loaded into a location that is, you know, connected to you. And when you are judged, that cart is brought forward and each of those sins are looked at. And what this verse is saying is that not only is each sin looked at individually, but the whole, the total is looked at. And so it multiplies the chaos. It multiplies the effect of the sins because they're all tied together so that they're not seen as separate sins. They're seen as a totality. And because I'm sorry?
This is Malka. Is this in the present, or is this when we come before the Creator in judgment?
You come before the Creator every day. You come before the Creator on Rosh Hashanah for the whole year. So every day it comes, you go before the, every night you're judged based on your actions for that day. But that judgment is based on what will motivate you to change yourself so that you don't do that sin again or those sins again. But on Rosh Hashanah, you're being looked at, what did you do the whole year? And so all of those sins are there. But this is describing a sense of sometimes Hashem has given you so much time to correct these sins, and now he's saying enough time has gone by, let's look at the totality. And he creates this hugely chaotic event, something like the flood or a tsunami or an earthquake where many, many people are killed or maimed or harmed, or a war. All of these kinds of things are related to this verse. It's being described, and it's all because of people's ego where they laughed it off. I did a sin. I'm not going to correct it. I did a sin, and Hashem doesn't care. these attitudes are the cause of all of these hugely chaotic events in the world's history and in the world's events today.
So is the whole nation being with the chaotic events, let's just say tornadoes or hurricanes or fires, that whole nation or that whole, I won't say nation, but that whole...
that whole geographic area.
Okay, thank you.
Every person in that geographic area.
Okay. So those sins, all those individual sins are bundled together, which is a human being.
They're wrapped together and they're evaluated together. And because they're together, they're multiplied together rather than just added.
Okay, and that's why it comes with such fierce. It'd be winds or it'd be rain or snowstorms. So when that happens and that is over or completed, is that a cleansing, some sort of cleansing of that territory?
Yes. It's a cleansing of that territory for all the negativity that was attached to that territory by human activity. There's no disappearance in spirituality. So every action that people do is connected to their things that they have, their animals that they own, their houses, their cars, any of these possessions are all impacted by their negative activity. So some people will have their physical possessions destroyed, but if that doesn't wake them up, so the next time or the three times down the road, it'll be an earthquake that kills them, God forbid. So you see, all of this, you know, the weather is changing, quote unquote. I don't know if it's changing or not. I didn't live 100 years ago to determine that. But let's make the assumption that the scientists are telling us correctly. The weather is changing. And so we're getting severe thunderstorms. And, you know, every year there's forest fires. But when I was a child, 50, 60 years ago, a forest fire would destroy 20,000 acres. Now it's destroying 200,000 acres. What's the difference? Why has it grown to this degree? Well, science has its reason, but because we're getting closer and closer to the end of the final ends, either we bring Mashiach with peace, or we will end up with the Armageddon war at the end of the ends. And as we get closer to that, the wake up calls, the chaos becomes more severe, and the reason being because our sins are not being fixed. There are very few people in the world looking at their actions to say, how can I be better today than I was yesterday? And that's why we have to study the Zohar, and that's why we have to spread the wisdom of Kabbalah, because that is the only way, according to the Zohar itself, that's the only way that we can escape these huge, horrible events. And that's what this verse is telling us.
And Rosh Hashanah, when that comes about, or Yom Kippur, that they say that's when the books are open and sealed, I mean, for the next year.
Correct. I'm not sure if you were asking another question or a deeper question than what I just answered, Malcolm.
Well, when the books are opened and the enclosed, we still judge daily, right? I mean,
yes, we're still judged daily based on the actions that we did that day, to see how we are progressing and what we should accomplish that year. Whereas on Rosh Hashanah, we're judged based on, we gave you so much energy last year and look what you did with it. So should I give you the same amount of energy for this next year or more or less? How did you abuse the energy? Did you use it well? It's a different frame of judgment. I hope that's clear.
Is this judgment coming from Keter? Or is it coming from Zerapan?
On Yom Kippur, we're able to reach cosmic Bina. That's the highest you can get. Just to cosmic Bina, and that's only on that one day a year. So it's not really judgment in the sense that God judges you. It's judgment in the sense it's the effect of your actions. But if you do a mistake, a sin, and the next day you get chaos, it's cleansed. But if you don't get chaos the next day, they hold off the chaos for a week. And each day you do that same negative action, then at the end of the week when the chaos hits, it's going to be seven times as much. One for each day, right?
Right.
And then it's going to be 365 on Rosh Hashanah. It's the effect of our own actions. It's not God judging us. God has given us the task. And what is that task? To remove the bread of shame. That task is to return to the level of consciousness of Adam before the sin. That's the task that we have. And then he's given us 6,000, 7,000 years to accomplish that. And he set the bet dins in place, the courts in place, to evaluate how we're doing, how are we making this happen? Are we making this happen? Have we done 10%, 5%, 80%? And so, at some point, all of those negative effects have to come into our lives. That's what this verse is telling us. Now, when that is, it's going to be different for every person. When that is going to be based on each person's situation and how they're approaching it. We study Kabbalah, so we have an out, an escape card, you know, get out of jail free card. It's telling us if we study Zohar, then that will be our method of bypassing all of this chaos because we learn to do teshuvah. We learn to fix it. We learn to cleanse it ourselves. We don't have to go through these huge being in a tsunami. We don't have to go through an earthquake. We don't have to go through a hurricane. If you've ever seen an earthquake, and I can tell you from personal experience in the early 90s, I had just started to study Kabbalah. And the earthquake in Los Angeles, I lived about 25 miles away from my business at that time. So I would drive to work. It would take me about 40 minutes, 50 minutes. But that morning after the earthquake, you went down the streets and you saw a building that was collapsed. And you saw the building standing next to it untouched. Didn't make any sense. You have an earthquake, everything should collapse. Why did it, one is untouched and one isn't? Because it brought home the reality that the person who owned the building that collapsed was a person that needed a very significant wake-up call. And the person in the building that dealt was untouched, they were good, they were righteous people who were doing good actions. There was no need for them to experience the chaos other than to experience, live in the area. And to appreciate that their neighbor had his building collapse, and so they had to feel the pain of their neighbor, but they didn't have to experience that pain themselves. All of that is related to the different aspects of the area that they live in. But after the earthquake, the cleansing is done. And human beings don't change, and they start over again, and the negativity builds up again.
This is really powerful.
It is a very powerful birth, and it's a half-hour class we had today. And now you know why everybody was late getting started. Yes.
It would be the same in our bodies as well, would it not? Illness and sickness that comes upon us and...
Yes, it would be the same, but it would be more directed to specifically your actions as opposed to the general area.
Okay.
But yes, it applies. Everything is always applying on the macro level and the micro level. And your body is, in one sense, it's a macro level because relative to you, it's the macro. But it's also relative to the world, it's a micro. And this is, you have to listen to the class on relativity in the basic classes to understand this. But if you had a big wake-up call, it's because lifetime after lifetime you weren't listening. But what do you learn in Kabbalah? There are some people who learn to say the Anabakoach as a panacea. And others who say the Anabakoach to bring the energy of creation into their space and to be utilize that as a protection shield. It works at the beginning for both people. But then all of a sudden it doesn't work for the one who's doing it as a panacea. Because he's not doing his work, and so it's going to catch up to them. And we can never be sure that we've done our work properly, and that's where the energy of certainty comes in. where you learn to accept. So if I didn't do it properly, then it will there'll be a cleansing that will impact me. And that's God's love for me. That chaos coming to me is cleansing, and that's just showing his love for me. But it's very hard to accept that statement as truth. So everybody is quiet. Go ahead, Maria.
When you said about the building, one was still standing and one was fallen.
Yes.
And you used that as an example. So I understand it as an example. I could also see where it could be taken that so we wouldn't know why that building actually fell for that particular person. But we could understand that things that if we don't correct. So you were just basically using that as an example. Wouldn't be that somebody could come along and say, oh, this building fell, so it must be that that person did wrong, right? Because we can't really know what's in another, you know, why things happen to other people unless you know for a fact.
The answer is a Kabbalist will know for why it happened to a person, because a true Kabbalist, will know why it happened to a person. A true Kabbalist can go, that person could visit a true Kabbalist and say, why did this happen to me? And the Kabbalist would be able to look at their face, read the Hebrew letters on their forehead, and give them an answer. This is what you need to do to fix it so it doesn't happen again.
That was the point, that if somebody were listening, so that's a very specific thing for the person to find out why that happened to them. But for another person to look and see that this happened to that person, you can't make a generalization and say, you must have done something wrong.
I'm
thinking of the story of Howard Avi, where somebody went around with him and where things seemed to be not good. When he finally found out the reason, it was exactly the opposite of, you know, the way things appeared to be.
Miriam, you know the general rules because you study the Zohar. The general rules are chaos only happens to people who have done wrong things. You don't know what they did wrong, and you shouldn't be the one judging them. You should only judge yourself. So if you go around, and as I drove down the street, if I said, oh, this person did wrong, but that person didn't, and I said, well, maybe it was because of, I can relate to the kind of damage that their building experienced, I could relate it to the, because it's always measure for measure, mida keneged mida, I could relate it to what they had done wrong. But it's not something I would do, because I need to judge myself, not the other people.
Yeah, thank you.
Malcolm, I think we've fallen so, like you said, we've fallen so far down the spiritual world that we don't tend to have a mindset of looking at that it's a cleansing process. We look at why is this happening to me? And we also tend to say that other people have caused this to happen to me, you know, blame someone else. And we truly have fallen far down into the creation, you know, the lower earth.
On the spiritual hierarchy, we have fallen very far.
Yes. And we don't see it as we are the cause and effect of what happens in our lives and even in our communities, you know, as well.
People are not taught to look at the world that way.
Exactly. I know I was never taught that way. I can actually testify for my own self and, you know, my families as well. We were taught something totally different, you know.
If you just even ask the question, and, you know, I know the area of the country that you live in, you've been getting a lot of rain, you've been getting a lot of damage, a lot of flooding, and all of these things. Now, it's been going on for 6 months. And
right.
the community is saying, well, that's just the bad weather. It's, you know, they're not questioning that we did anything wrong.
That's what I would have thought years ago, yes. Now, I don't think that way. But that's how we were taught.
That's how you were taught to think. That's how the Western world thinks. But what happens, you know, the Hurricane Katrina went through New Orleans. It cleansed everything. So did people leave to go and find a better place to change themselves? No, they rebuilt New Orleans. They rebuilt the area. That's fine. Because it was absolutely clean, but they didn't change themselves at all. And therefore, the different aspects happen again. Not in exactly the same way that somebody could say, oh, this happened and now that happened. We just didn't change. People won't make that connection. They're not taught how to make that connection unless they start to study Kabbalah. That gives them that perspective. And then they have to be looking at not the other person, but to realize that they caused it, that I caused it. There's an earthquake in China. Oh, I'm sorry for them. No, I caused that earthquake in China. Why? Because I'm in the same generation that the people who experience it are. But that's after 25 years of studying Kabbalah.
I guess I see Kabbalah as being the third eye. You know, we talk about the third eye. It really opens up your conscious, subconscious. Just really opens up the mind.
It gives you the tools to open yourself up to really look at yourself. That's what it's for. That's why it's there. That's why it's being revealed in our generation. Because we're running out of time. We only have 220-some years left.
That is a short time.
It is a short time in the history of the world. It's 223 years out of 6,000. You can do the math. It's like roughly 5% of the time left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I truly appreciate your teaching, Hanok. It is really powerful lessons, powerful teaching.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope we both learn what we have to learn so that we don't have to experience this. And I hope we both learn to feel the pain of the other people who it appears to us as if they might have to experience it, and hopefully will reveal enough light that they will come to their senses and start to study before it's too late. And that's why I do what I do. Everyone have a beautiful evening. We'll have a Tikkuni Zohar class at 7 p.m. West Coast time. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer.
Thank you.
And we will start another verse tomorrow.
Okay.
You all have a good evening. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom, thank you.